What is good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Hopped On Sports. We got a great episode here tonight. We're going to recap the fun NBA All-Star Weekend. One of the best. I mean, one for the books, for sure. And then, if you can't top it off, something even greater than that, you've got the Daytona 500 that absolutely blew everyone's mind away. You know, it was a two-day event. And I think everyone was watching a little bit of that, especially because of the finish. So we'll recap that as well. And just a few other things that's going on in the sports world. We got a busy week ahead of us. We're finally ready to tell you guys about what's going on, what we have in the works. But we'll get to that just a little bit later, so stick around. But before we get into any of that, let me go ahead and introduce Steven. Steven, what's up, man?
What's up, man? It's Tuesday. Not Monday. We're typically doing this on Monday. So we had a little bit of a birthday party, if you will, last night with some Mexican food and some Mexican lagers. And let me tell you, every time we go to that restaurant, I leave so happy. It is just my favorite place on this planet. That is El Tequila in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You've got to go try it. So,
hey, no free advertisements.
Except for El Tequila.
El Tequila, we will give you a shout out. We just need a few free dinners and
tortillas are fine.
We'll call it, so.
Yeah. What's up, man? I'm looking forward to this episode. We've got some big news. We've got some beer. We've got some sports. So why don't you start off by telling us what you are drinking tonight?
Yeah, man. So we did go to the liquor store last night and picked up some pick sixes. So got a few different things going on here tonight. What I'm drinking here is the North Coast Brewing Company. Prankster is the name of this. It's a Belgian-style golden ale. Absolute great beer, 7.6%. Everyone knows I love Belgians. You love Belgians, something I've got you into. You like Belgium.
First beer I ever drank was a Belgian.
Well, Belgian. Okay. Anyway.
You've gotten me into a lot of beers, but I'm not going to say Belgium.
We'll see. But anyway, Prankster, like I said, it's just been one of those easy go-to beers for the last couple of years for sure. Really enjoy it. So thought I'd have it on tonight's show. While we have so many great things to talk about, why not have a great beer with it? So
yeah.
What do you got going over there?
Oh, I don't even know how to start this. we went to the liquor store after dinner last night to get next couple weeks worth of beer for the podcast. And I just went through the pick six and I was grabbing beer. So I haven't tried this, haven't tried that. And I was trying to not be too picky because the whole point of doing this is to try new beers. And it's funny because every time I go back to that liquor store, as I was telling you, it feels like the pick six. That's incredible. What a great pick six that liquor store has. But it feels like it gets smaller every time I go in there because I try not to buy the same beers. I want to try new beers. So this one I grabbed and then just randomly grabbed out of my fridge before we started the show. It is the Daura, D-A-U-R-A, by what I'm assuming to be Damm, D-A-M-M. I mean, that's how it appears to me, is the Daura Damm. And I did not realize this when I picked up the beer. And I'm really looking forward to trying this one because it is I'm kind of looking forward to trying this one because it's a gluten-free beer, which it just, I don't get it. I mean, if you're, what is it, the celiac disease?
Yeah.
So if you have that, I understand that for this, you know, this beer for that type of application, and it's great that they've been able to create this for those people that have that, but
You know, we have a local brewery here that is gluten-free.
I do, yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about this. I don't know what to anticipate, how it's going to taste like. I see great reviews on it. It's 5.5% it's 5.4% alcohol by volume, 26 IBUs, and it's a lager. So, very simple presentation on the bottle too. It's, nothing flashy. It's just red labels with white letters. And, anyways, you want to try our beers?
Let's go ahead and get for it.
All right.
Cheers.
Woo.
All right.
Hold on.
Oh, he's breaking it down.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I will say this. Are there a bunch of gluten-free beers?
There's a decent amount, especially nowadays. Obviously, everything's changing. People are coming out with, low-calorie IPAs now, and
yeah.
You've got gluten-free beers, and everyone's just trying to get, something out there for everybody. So, I'd say there's a pretty good amount now.
I will give them this. It's got to be one of the better gluten-free beers out there, and I've never tried another one. I tried to drink it with an open mind, and I thought I've had worse beers that had gluten.
You're a big gluten guy, too.
I am a big gluten guy, yeah. So trying this, closed-minded, maybe different. I literally drank it with the most open mind I could put myself into. And I would say that if somebody just handed me this and there was no label on it, I honestly probably wouldn't have even thought twice about it. Think something's different about this. It tastes kind of similar to the Hemperer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is interesting because that's a CBD beer, or it's basically a falsified marijuana beer. It just smells like a skunk. Yeah, hemp. Yeah. So, anyways, this is a little skunky, but in a good way. So, anyways, yeah, definitely worth a try if you have celiac disease.
There you go. Or if you just want to watch your gluten levels. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I watch mine rise every day.
Yep. There you go. Well, we were both pretty busy this weekend, but I know I squeezed in the slam dunk contest and the NBA All-Star game. I didn't really know if I was going to watch all the All-Star game, but I end up doing so and watching from start to finish. But before we get there, let's talk about the slam dunk contest, because I know you did watch that, or at least all the highlights of. Wow. Let's just start there. Wow. And for those who didn't watch it, you've got to get out there and find a way to watch it, because this thing was one for the ages. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Start to finish, these guys were putting on just absolutely great performances, dunks, and I was just absolutely there for it, man. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so cover your ears for a sec. No. I turned on the dunk contest and thought, I'm gonna watch. I told the podcast I'm going to watch the dunk contest. I'm going to watch the game. Let me tell you that the last couple years I've watched the dunk contest, I've been impressed with some of the dunks. I have not been impressed with the format of how the contest goes. And, it's turned into one of those everybody gets a trophy type deal. To me, I mean, I'm super competitive by nature. And the way that the dunk contest has evolved, it's too friendly to me. I mean, it is the All-Star weekend. It's supposed to be fun, but these guys that are in the dunk contest, they want to win.
Right.
And I'm watching dunks. I see some dunks that are pretty cool, but there's five judges, and the most you can vote for as a judge is 10. And you're seeing 50s and 50s and 50s and 50s, and I'm thinking, this is silly. Not every dunk can be the best dunk the judges have ever seen. There's got to be a decimal system on the judges' voting, because it's just not right. We saw maybe two of the best dunks I think I've seen ever on Saturday, or Sunday, whenever it was. I watched
Saturday,
it on DVR.
Saturday, yep.
So the way that folded out, I was not okay with it. I was not okay with it at all. I would have been more okay with it if they had just gone with the tie that they had joked about for 5 minutes straight over and over and over. They said, just call it a tie. I can't believe how many times that was said. And then we saw the most screwy ending that I was not okay with.
No. Yeah,
I was not okay with it. And before, I'm going to let you talk here in just a second.
Okay. All right.
But I did not watch the All-Star game because of how pissed off I was at the way that the dunk contest ended. It's not right, man. It's back-to-back contests for this guy that he just got stolen from him.
Yeah, you're referring to Aaron.
Yeah, Gordon.
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, yeah, Aaron Gordon. I mean, it just got ripped right out of his hands.
Yeah, and he's already come out and said that he's done. He's retiring from the dunk contest because he feels like he should have two titles, and, you know, he's got zero. I mean, he really did get gypped on that last dunk. We could have started this dunk contest with just Derrick Jones Jr. and Aaron Gordon, and I think everyone would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
These two absolutely put on one hell of a show. Everyone was into it. Like you said, a couple of the best dunks I've ever seen took place on Saturday.
Yeah, when Derrick Jones Jr. has somebody standing in front of the goal, throws the ball off the backboard, the guy that's standing in front of the goal throws the ball off the backboard, Derrick Jones Jr. grabs the ball off the backboard, jumps over the guy, and puts it between his legs and dunks it. I mean, dude, it's game over. Like, both of them had so many dunks. Like, I would say each of them had two dunks that would have won a number of other dunk contests, and they weren't even their final dunks. So, I'm not saying I don't think Jones should have won the dunk contest, but
we should have gone one more round, for sure.
The format absolutely is what pissed me off. Jones, in my opinion, if I'm looking at it, sizing up each dunk, I would probably give it to him. Especially because he was making all his dunks on the first try, which was just blowing my mind.
That's a big thing, obviously.
But
I judge pretty hard about that. That's why the scoring, that how it came out, Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco, the big 7'5" guy.
Yeah.
And he kind of clipped him a little bit going up, enough to make Taco kind of bend. And, you know, I mean, it's still obviously super impressive. I'm not taking anything away with that. But it's like, I could see why the judges might have taken a point off for that.
I'll say this. I don't even know what to say. I will say this, okay? Jones's last dunk was 100% more impressive to me than Gordon's dunk over Taco. It absolutely was. But to say that what Gordon did was not a 50 per standards of what had been voted on earlier in the contest is an absolute rip to Gordon. I mean, it is an inconsistently judged event, and if they want people to watch, I know that not everybody's going to get angry about it like I did. You've got to do something to change it. I mean, it's not, don't call it the NBA dunk contest. You know, it's not a competition. Call it, you know, the dunk show. I don't know what you want me to say, but add more judges, add decimals, do something to make it legit.
Decimals is an interesting interesting strategy.
Yeah, and
I haven't really thought too much about that, but it makes sense.
And to me, you should not be able to vote 10. You shouldn't be able to vote a 10.
Well, I don't agree with that, but I believe that when you vote a 10, it's kind of like you're saying, it's one of the best dunks you've ever seen. I mean, because it did kind of get repetitive there. We went, two in a row with people getting 50s back-to-back. And, yeah, they were great dunks. I mean, it's hard to say they're not 50s, but there has to be a way to really separate, like, a great dunk from, oh, my God, that was one of the best dunks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, the judges are sitting there talking and working together. If I didn't know any better, I would think that they actually meant for that dunk contest to be a tie, but somehow they had a mishap on
it.
No
one can do math.
And somebody voted 9 and they meant to vote 10, or, you know, it was a miscommunication, because I don't know. But you've got 1 through 10 and 5 judges, so the max you can get is 50 points, and Gordon got 50 points every one but his last dunk.
You know, ESPN, as soon as they saw that final score, they're like, no, because they wanted that thing to keep going, man. Everyone was watching it.
Oh, it was great.
I was, I'll be honest, I was out and about. We were at a bar downtown, and, you know, one of the first things I thought was, I got to get in front of a TV. I'd been watching it on my phone, and I had left where I was at, and I was like, we got to go somewhere with TV. I got to see the end of this. And sure enough, when we got there, I mean, there's a bunch of us around the TV watching this thing. I mean, everyone was into it, man. I mean, it was some of the best dunks, like I said, I've ever seen. So,
dude, Aaron Gordon had somebody throw the basketball off the side of...
That was my favorite dunk of the night.
That was my favorite dunk I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It was super incredible.
When I saw that, I thought, if he doesn't win this dunk contest...
He's just so athletic looking, too. He just... I don't know, he makes it look so effortless. You know, I mean, it's incredible.
But, you know, Jones took that... He took that dunk that Michael Jordan did years back, and which is the emblem of Jordan shoes, and he did that plus a windmill. I mean, he was mad at himself for not taking off from the free throw line. So I'm not discrediting his dunk there, but the way that the night went, I felt like Gordon got ripped. Even though I still feel like Jones should have won. So this is getting really redundant, but don't support the dunk contest in the future if they don't change it. Please. It is a great event to watch if it's judged correctly. And Dwight Howard had no business in that, by the way.
No, that he was. I thought it was kind of cool at first when I saw his name appear, but then it was like, nah.
Yeah.
But I won't say much about this because I didn't get to watch all of it. I do have it recorded, so I probably should have watched it by now. It's my own mistake, but I do want to give a shout-out to Buddy Hield for winning the three-point contest. I did get to see his last run, and it was incredible. He got hot and ended up winning that thing. So those are always so fun to watch because you're like, oh, this guy's out. Then all of a sudden they go on this incredible run making, 10 out of 12 or something like that in a row. It's always fun to watch something like that.
Yeah, I typically watch the three-point contest. I'm telling you, dude, when this dunk contest ended, I turned it off. I'm done with the NBA. I'm done with the All-Star weekend. I'm done. It literally got under my skin. I was angry. I was on the edge of my seat, and, man.
Well, see, that's probably a good transition to why you messed up by doing that, because Sunday's All-Star game was one of the best All-Star games in any sport that I've ever watched. It was awesome, awesome, awesome from start to finish. This new format, absolutely brilliant. I got to give it up to the players for bringing this forward and getting this going because it was just a great show, man. I mean, the guys were really into it, even early on. But once we got to the fourth quarter, it was like it was the NBA Finals. These guys were playing lockdown defense. It was actually pretty bad offense for a little bit because the defense was so good.
You have very few fast break points. Like in the fourth quarter, there were 3 fast break points, which is...
Wow.
I mean, when you look at it, it's like they were playing a real game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looked like. And you had the world's best out there playing all together. I mean, absolutely amazing. I really, really enjoyed it, man. And for it to come down to how it came down, it came down to a free throw from AD... And he misses the first one. So you want to talk about pressure. You know, we're talking about an All-Star game that in the years past have been almost jokes. You know, no defense. Guys are out there just having fun, just being with their buddies. Well, no, not this year. It was serious business, man. There was a lot of pressure him going to the line to hit that second free throw. And he does hit it. And most people are pretty upset that you can win on a free throw. What's your kind of take on that?
You know what? You're playing to a score. What it was in the fourth quarter, they were racing to 157 points, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm correct, right? Whoever gets there first wins. Is it a win by two?
No.
So whoever gets there first wins. I mean, you go into the match with the same mindset as your opponent. Yeah. We've got to get to 157 first. I don't care if you granny your free throw shot. If it goes in, you got to 157 first. So... I have no problem with it. You know, there's a set of rules before the game starts, so you follow those rules, and maybe they'll change them next year. If they change them next year, you got to be okay with the ones you're going into in the match going in. So
right, we had talked about the last couple episodes that we thought LeBron's team was by far the better team, that this wasn't even going to probably be that close. Well, Giannis's team ended up carrying the lead for most of the game. Was just, I mean, really looked like the better team, honestly, for most of this. And then LeBron's team got going and made this close right there at the end and ended up pulling away and getting the win. So I'm glad it happened that way because I was worried that this could literally be a blowout. But that just shows you, dude, I mean, like, how much talent is on both sides of, you know, each team. Obviously, we know that because this is the All-Star game. But, you know, it seemed like we're looking at LeBron's team and they're just superstar, superstar, superstar. And Giannis's team just seemed kind of like a bunch of really good basketball players together. And look, they almost won.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was fun to watch. I'll give it another shot next year, and we'll see what happens. But I've deleted the game off my recordings because I don't want to support this year's All-Star Weekend.
You're really quick to hold a grudge, you know that?
I am. Well, you know, I went into this year saying I was kind of checked out on the NBA, and this wasn't going to be an NBA year for me.
Right.
I've watched some games. I've watched more than I anticipated watching. Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat watching this, but I was also on the edge of my seat of, why am I watching the NBA right now whenever there's NASCAR? You know, just, but I was open to it, and I typically don't watch that, so just, I'm about competition, and for the same reason I don't watch the Pro Bowl, it's not competitive, and it's never going to be competitive because it's too physical of a sport to go out there and risk getting hurt, you know, so.
I was going to say, it's definitely time for the NFL to figure out what they're going to do for the All-Star game. Because Major League Baseball, even though they took it away of what it meant, you know, from years past, it was whoever won the All-Star game got home field advantage in the World Series. So, obviously, both teams are playing hard. But then they took that away. But it hasn't, doesn't seem like it's taken too much away from the game itself. The guys are still playing super hard. It's fun to watch. I always watch it. NBA was kind of in between, you know, this year it was awesome. They've done it right. Well, now it's time the NFL to figure it out. They got to do something. I can't remember where I heard it from, but they talked about NFL doing a flag football game.
It was me.
Was it you?
Of course it was me.
I almost going to give you credit for that. But, dude, I mean, seriously, think about that for a second.
No, I know. I brought it up on the show like four weeks ago.
They got to do something different because the guys, you know, the guys are all there. They're just here to have fun. They're not trying to get hurt, like you said. A good competition flag football game was, you know, something big on the line. I think that could really do something.
Yeah, and, I mean, yeah. I hate anything that is supposed to be competitive that turns out not to be competitive. One of my least favorite things when I was playing sports, I didn't like playing teams when they weren't at their full strength. You know, if I'm going to beat you, and I did a lot of individual sports, so I liked to play somebody when they were at their full strength so that they couldn't, at the end of the match, say, yeah, well, my ankle's not 100%, you know. Well, okay, your ankle's not 100%, then why are you even here if you're going to use that as an excuse?
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate it. You know, if you beat me, you beat me. If I beat you, I beat you.
Yeah.
And in individual sports, too, like tennis, you see sometimes Djokovic gets beat by a lower-seeded player, and they say, oh, Djokovic had a bad day. And I'm like, no, you know, the other guy kind of put it on him.
Yeah, had,
you know,
a great day. And yeah,
the other guy had a great day, and he exposed some weaknesses that Djokovic had, you know? So, yeah. I don't know.
No, I feel you on that. But, yeah, great weekend, man. I think the NBA took a big step in the right direction this weekend as far as continued to show that I don't think they'll ever be as popular as football, but they're making a case. Let's put it that way. They're making a case. Who would have thought the second story on the docket today on Hopped On Sports would be NASCAR?
Me.
I didn't. I did not. I did not think that was a possibility. But it is by far the second biggest story that we have to talk about.
I think it's the biggest story we have to talk about. I can't think of a bigger headline in sports this week.
I mean, I'm not kidding, dude. Like, the All-Star game killed it. Like, I'm not trying to continue to, you know, go that way, but it was great. But yes, we'll say it's super close. Maybe even NASCAR number one. Start us off with it because, you know, obviously I had every intention of watching this. I ended up watching about half of it, and I mean, I loved it. So give me your take on everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it's a weekend for sure that's going to be remembered, but it's not not necessarily all for positive reasons, just because of what happened to close out the race. You know, it went pretty typical as for how Daytona normally does. You run for a while, everything seems fine. You have a single or a double car crash, and then keep going, and then all of a sudden there's a big one. You lose a handful of drivers. People are starting to drive around the track with beaten up cars, and you get closer and closer to the end. These guys are fighting harder for positions. It's a dangerous track to race at. Dangerous. There, Talladega. But it's fun to watch, especially once you get closer to the end, because these guys are racing hard. You're literally on the edge of your seat because you're seeing passes and these cars start shaking. And what we saw at the end of the race is exactly what can be the result of when those cars start shaking at that speed and losing control. Aerodynamics and all kinds of factors come into play when those cars are driving that fast, that close to each other. You can literally see a wreck happen when, like, if you were in a car behind me and you were just like 6 inches behind me, you don't even have to hit me to make me lose control. It's just the air pressure and all the drafting and everything. I'm not a scientist, so I don't fully understand it, but yeah, you can lift somebody's rear bumper and all of a sudden they're in the wall. And unfortunately for Ryan Newman, he you saw it happen.
Oh yeah, no, we were sitting next to each other watching.
Yeah, it was on at the restaurant, and I just have so much negativity today because I have nothing good to say about Denny Hamlin.
Let me set it up this way. Okay, so Sunday, I'm leaving the golf course. And I'm like, I knew the Daytona 500 was going on. I knew I didn't have to watch from start to finish, that I'd hop in somewhere. I hop in, it's stage two, and I'm like, oh, cool. I can watch the last two stages here and get going. And turn it on, start watching, and there's a short transition where I was going from TV to TV, and I turn it back on, and there's just, like, nothing going on. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I know NASCAR is not my sport, but I know the race isn't over. What just happened? And weather delay. I'm like, are you kidding me? The one time I'm sitting down to watch some NASCAR, there's a weather delay. Is that really how this is going to play out? And one of the biggest races, you know, Daytona 500, you know, it's like, how does this happen? So I'm like, well, at least Monday gives us something to talk about before the show and all that. And you and I go to dinner together.
Yeah, I'm like, let's just keep talking about us going to dinner together.
Let me set that up better. Went to a dinner party. There were other people there. And we're watching NASCAR kind of accidentally. The race was just kind of on that TV while we're sitting there. And, of course, now we're watching it while it's getting here to the final laps. And sure enough, man, what a crazy, crazy finish. I mean, this is not the way NASCAR would have wanted it to have happened, with someone getting injured. And Newman, you know, we've got an update on him. You know, they said
don't have anything on him, man. Yeah, they said BS.
They said he's talking. Things are not life-threatening. So that's good in that aspect. But NASCAR does love that podcasts like Hopped On Sports are sitting here talking about them today, because it was an incredible finish. I mean, you didn't know. It kind of looked like you were just going to finish kind of boring. I mean, just a couple guys were really going at it right there at the end. And then all of a sudden you have this big wreck that absolutely set the whole track just on fire, literally.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I know you haven't spent a ton of time watching NASCAR, but the more time you do spend, the more you'll just be less and less surprised by things like this happening at these super speedways. The last lap, the last two laps, the last five laps, they take forever. I told you. Yeah, I told you going in. I said, these last 20 laps are going to take 2 hours.
Yeah.
It happens every year. You don't necessarily expect something that dramatic to happen on the last lap. It did, unfortunately, happen back in 2001 when Dale Earnhardt went to be with Jesus, but I would say...
What lap was that? Do you know?
It was the final lap.
It was the final lap.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? And actually, they were running overtime in this year, so it was actually more than the final lap, if that makes any sense, but... horrible situation for Ryan Newman. What happened, if you guys didn't see, is Denny Hamlin just wrecked him blatantly. I mean, just practically drove right into him. Just go watch the video.
It's hard to have you break this down for us because we all know that you're a Denny Hamlin hater.
You're going to be biased
about it because a lot of people today that we sat around and talked with said, did Hamlin do something that he probably shouldn't have done? Maybe, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But is it a racing move?
Yes.
I mean, that's
it. Just makes him a dirty racer. Okay. It's a dirty racing move. My drivers have done it, okay? Yeah. I'm not going to say they haven't.
Logano's known for that, too.
Right? It happens. No, I wouldn't say he's known for that. People don't like him, but it happens too much
why
with
don't
Denny
they like
Hamlin.
It?
Because he wins, and that's why people don't like Denny Hamlin.
Hamlin just won his back-to-back.
So I really have an issue with it, and I'm going to be willing to overpass my angriness at Denny for doing donuts while Ryan Newman was potentially dead upside down in his car, because I understand that he probably didn't know the severity of the situation. But in the moment, I was fire-headed. I was at a dinner with 15 people, and I am just fuming out of my ears. I'm smoking because of how angry I was at, you know, I'm a Ryan Blaney fan. He's on Penske, and he was running second. He's the one that Denny caused a wreck, who ended up hitting Ryan Newman. And as soon as I saw that wreck, I knew it was bad news.
Yeah, it went from like 0 to 10 quick.
So you see cars go airborne on occasion. You typically don't see them go airborne from a hit that takes place while the car is upside down. You just don't see cars get hit while they're upside down. In any other track, that probably doesn't happen because the drivers have time to avoid it. You know, they're all pushing so hard because it's the last lap of the first race of the year at the Daytona 500, and it went as bad as it could for Ryan Newman, minus the fact that he's alive. I don't think he'll ever drive a race car again. That's my opinion. NASCAR has been extremely quiet on what's going on. They were quiet at the scene. They put up, you know, they put up covers around the car so that people couldn't see in to see what was going on. They had to bring out the jaws alive. They cut the car. They cut it to shreds just to get him out, get him on a stretcher. He leaves. They finally end up giving a report that said he made it to the hospital. They never said he was alive. They ended up finally, hours after the race, saying his injuries are non-life-threatening. Well, what does that say to me?
They say he's in serious condition, but non-life-threatening.
Yeah, serious condition, but yeah. Non-life-threatening injuries. Yeah. To me, that tells me there's a heck of a lot of stuff that NASCAR does not want me to know, such as Ryan Newman's never going to be driving around that track again under his own power.
Right. There were rumors. I haven't really looked at it since I heard it today, but that he had possibly was going to lose a leg.
A leg, an arm, a hand, a foot. Who knows what it is? I mean, yeah. He could be paralyzed from the neck down. He could have lost his vision. He could literally be brain dead. He's alive, though. That's all that NASCAR is telling us. I don't like it, man. I don't like... I respect the privacy of the Newman family, but I got to say, there's a lot of people on the edge of their seat right now. There's a lot of people who, like me, are not even a Ryan Newman fan, but madly respect him. He's a great driver. You know, I mean, he's my dad's favorite driver, period. He is my dad's number one guy, and my dad is like a puddle of tears right now, I'm sure, because he doesn't know what's going on with this guy, but it's not good. It's not good at all. And I gotta say, I don't really like how NASCAR's handled this.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting situation because even like in today's world, things get out somehow. Even with let's say NASCAR didn't want it to get out, you know, somehow the information tends to get out. This has been really quiet.
I mean, so quiet.
It's been very, very quiet, and people are just wanting answers. So, I mean, I don't blame either side. You know, I think everyone deserves answers, but at the same time, I understand they're trying to keep it as quiet as possible while everything's going on, and they'll go from there. So,
no, but NASCAR needs to make a statement a little better than, hey, guys, Ryan Newman's alive. Like, come out and address this. You know, it's I'm not trying to degrade NASCAR because I typically really like what they do. I just, this individual situation has been an absolute cluster. You've got one of your drivers left that's, you know, arguably one of the biggest OGs in the sport right now, and nobody knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can bet that, like, true Ryan Newman fans right now are sweating hard. I mean, imagine if this happened to Cody Bellinger, or you're not a Cody Bellinger fan. I was just kidding, but imagine if it happens to Aaron Judge, yeah, and he's just that. Gone, and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, or maybe even more so than that, like Bob Stoops, or, you know, who knows? I'm trying to think of somebody that you would idolize.
Someone you have, you know, feelings toward for, because it's your sports team.
Kind of weird.
No, but think about it. You're passionate about a sports team. I have feelings towards a player, a team, whatever it might be. I understand where you're coming from, because I wouldn't call myself a NASCAR fan, but I want to know what's going on. I mean, it was like after the race was ended, I'm sitting there scrolling Twitter, refreshing, trying to get an update, and there's just nothing coming out. And I'm like, so surely it's not bad, right? I mean, if they're not reporting anything, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, now they're bringing out these curtains and stuff to, like, cover it up. I'm like, oh, boy, this could be bad. Who knows? So, yeah, it is weird that it took so long for information to get out.
Yeah, going forward, I'm sure, looking back, for me, one of my saltiest sports moments is going to be remembering Denny Hamlin celebrate his Daytona 500 win while Ryan Newman is upside down in his car,
right?
Possibly lifeless. I mean,
I've got Denny's tweet right here. I knew you were going to bring this up, because, I mean, you said it instantly. You're like, he's sitting there doing donuts in the field while a guy might be sitting there dying. I'm thinking the last thing this guy's thinking about right now is that someone could be dead behind him. I mean, I'm sure he knew a wreck took place. I mean, I'm sure everyone's aware. But, man, he just won the Daytona 500. And, I mean, what is he supposed to do in that situation when you have no information of what just took place? You knew there was a wreck, but how many times is there a wreck? All the time.
But, I mean, you just stated it yourself. I legitimately knew the situation was bad as soon as it took place.
You're watching it on TV. He's driving.
I'm not taking anything away from Denny with that. Like I said earlier, I'm not going to hold that against him, but like I said, looking back, it's going to be one of my saltiest moments.
Right.
And it's unfortunate for the Newman family, for Newman himself, for Blaney. It's unfortunate for Hamlin, because if Newman never races again, Hamlin's living with that, you know. Blaney's not living with that. Hamlin knows himself it was his fault. He's pushing through. He's going for the Daytona 500 win. Sorry. And, you know, I can understand that, but at some point you have to learn that there is a respect that goes into the sport that Denny just has not seemed to learn to understand yet. Time and time again, he's causing dangerous wrecks, and he seems like a cool guy. You know, I mean, I want to like him because he seems like one of the cooler guys on the circuit, but I will never respect the dangerous aspect that he brings to the sport. And I've been saying that for years, and this weekend proved it. So I'm checked out on Denny Hamlin completely.
I did think it was a class act. Afterwards, he came out and said, first and foremost, I want to give well wishes and prayers to Ryan Newman. I had absolutely no idea the severity of the crash until I got to Victory Lane. There's very little communication after the finish, and I had already unhooked my radio. It's not anyone's fault, is what he said.
He said it's not anyone's fault?
Yeah.
He caused the wreck.
That's what he said.
That was classy to you?
Yeah. I think reaching out after a win, obviously everyone's going to reach out because you don't like it. I don't care who it is. Competitors have a respect for each other, and true competitors do. And when you do that, I mean, you're going to reach out to the guys because you might hate them on the track, on the court, on the field, whatever it might like while it's going. But afterwards, there's a time to sit back and respect. I don't know if he meant that. If you want to break down the tweet, I don't know if he meant that in that sense that the wreck was no one's fault. I think he meant the communication part of it, because that's where he was at in the tweet.
Okay,
he was talking about the communication.
That was my next question for you. Because if he did mean the wreck was no one's fault,
right?
What I would say right now, I could probably go to jail for, so I'm not even going to say it.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I have to take your word for it, because, I mean, we've talked to a few different people today, and one person said it wasn't Denny's fault. One person said it was his fault, but it's a move that you make in NASCAR. And unfortunately, just caused a terrible accident. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not the expert on this. This is your field.
Here's the thing. The wreck was Denny's fault. I like to think that Denny would give up his win to take back what happened. I really do. So I don't want to gain publicity or, you know, I'm kind of ready to quit talking about this because it really is. It is a tragic event that took place. And I don't think Ryan's going to drive a car. I don't think he's going to be seen in his car again. I think it's done, man, and it sucks because I've watched it my whole career, pretty much my NASCAR career. So let's move on from it, because I do feel bad for Denny in the sense that he's going to have to live with that.
Right.
I mean, if Ryan's career is done, it's Denny's fault, and Denny knows it's Denny's fault, and Ryan Blaney can try to take the blame for it like he did, but he knows it's not his fault. Props to Joe Gibbs. I love Joe Gibbs. I love the guy. His team, as far as drivers right now, I'm not very fond of any of his drivers, but what a class act Joe Gibbs is. And he's the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, obviously, and Denny Hamlin drives for him. They came in to the pits, and I'll say before they were really even celebrating, they were all together praying. So that's what Joe Gibbs is all about. He might be my favorite big name in sports. I got to see him in Texas while I was down there last year, and that was a cool moment. But, you know, he's an awesome dude, and it sucks to see him have to see one of his. He probably feels worse about it than Denny Hamlin. You know, I'll put it that way. I don't know, but. He's a class act, and he's been through the ringer in all types of sports, you know, but he's got a great book. If you guys haven't seen it, look it up and read it. Oh my gosh, dude. It's freaking, we're going straight from Kobe Bryant to the negativity behind the Ryan Blaney thing. This has been a weighing month.
Yeah.
Heavy month.
Yeah, for sure. well, it's a shame. I'll say this.
It's time.
It's a shame for such a great race to have such a exciting yet terrifying finish, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a shame. Yep. I mean, I got nothing good to say about Denny Hamlin, so I'll just stop.
There you go. All right. Just a few other things. Obviously, we talked about this the last few weeks. We're just getting that time of year, man. I'm super excited. I believe it's at this point, it's 37 days out till opening day. You know, just getting the guys back on the field is super exciting for Major League Baseball. However, there's this dark cloud that just continues to linger over the MLB with the Houston Astros cheating scandal. But let me tell you, although I'm super upset about it, I'm just sitting back with popcorn listening to these players come out and just destroy the Astros for it. Because since we last spoke, Cody Bellinger came out and spoke about it. Mike Trout came out and spoke about it. And then I just went blank on his name. He is an Atlanta Brave now. He's been with a few different teams. Mike Moustakas, I believe, came out and said that every player on the Astros basically deserves a beating after what has taken place.
I saw the over-under on the amount of times that a batter's going to get hit.
Oh, like, I loved
what
it.
What was it, 81.5 or 83?
It's 83.5, I think.
83, yeah. But it's only happened 9 times that a team has gotten hit more than 81 times in the season. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I would take the over.
You know, now it's funny because the Astros are kind of like pleading for baseball to do something about this.
Stupid.
It's just like, bro, just sit there and take it. Because
take your beating.
Yeah, I mean, you guys deserve every bit of this.
Who are the new guys going into that? Or now, surely there's a couple new guys going into that organization this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, supposedly this only happened in 2017.
BS.
You know, we all believe it has continued to happen from 18, 19, and all that. But yeah, obviously there's going to be some new guys on the team who have nothing to do with it, and they're like, hey. Don't be me, dude. I didn't do anything.
Right. So, no, I mean, so Jose Altuve, I've enjoyed watching that guy at bat for his whole career. I've sat there and watched him and been like, dude, this guy's a firecracker. Like, he's an incredible baseball player. And not probably until, like, really until today. I mean, you see him running with his hand holding his shirt closed, and you think, this guy's a freaking snake.
Yep.
This guy is a total snake, and I'm a Cardinals fan. I don't care if they beat the Yankees. I don't care if the Yankees beat them. It doesn't matter to me. The Cardinals have been irrelevant for 5 years. So I'm watching that going, man, this is pathetic.
Yeah,
like, this is actually pathetic. So much so to the point where Altuve goes from one of my favorite non-Cardinals players to – leave the league, dude. Just go. There's no place for this, you know?
There was a good interview today with Aaron Judge, and they were asking him about it and saying, you know, do you feel cheated with the, you know, 2017 and all that? And he goes, yeah, they stole, you know, a potential World Series championship from us. And basically that championship they do have holds no credit. You know, how can you say you're a champion when you cheated to get it, you know?
Yeah, that to me is going down as at least a less respected championship ring than when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and won one.
Yeah. I mean, that's saying something.
Yeah. So, speaking of basketball, man, this gluten-free beer is freaking making me burp, dude. LeBron came out and said, listen, he tweeted this. He said, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I'm in sports.
Yep.
And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would/could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your ... players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, they are about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. And
hey, I love it. I love it. I'm glad you went there with that because I'm going to build off that.
The best thing that LeBron's done in his career is make that statement.
Maybe so.
I mean, seriously. Who has to say it? I mean, can Trump come in and take care of the commissioner? You know, I mean, nobody's over the commissioner of baseball.
Right. It's just hilarious because, like, Manfred, who I thought was going to be a good commissioner for baseball, has really handled this situation poorly. And I'm not blaming him too harsh for it because this is a very, very unique situation. But the way he's going about it now, and he basically, he apologized about it today, but the other day he had mentioned that basically, like, the trophy is just a piece of metal and all this stuff. Bro, that's what everyone works for their entire lives, is to win a championship at the highest level. That's what it's about, man. You know, I mean, some people are just all about themselves, but for the most part, everyone wants to win a championship. That's how you get remembered. That's how you build a legacy, is championships. And to have championships taken away from you because you have guys out there cheating and then sitting there basically being like, hey, we said we're sorry, but let's move on. And it's a terrible, terrible thing for baseball. And it's going to be an interesting year, man, because they have to figure out how to play this, man, because, you know, everyone's already getting tired of them talking about it all the time. Well, it's because no one feels like it's been, there's justice yet. No one feels that way. Everyone feels cheated, and the players not getting in trouble is the biggest problem with this whole thing, because Where's the justice? Where's the justice at that? The organization, the penalty they took, it's not going to kill them. It's going to set them back a little bit, but it's not going to kill them. And the players that cheated, they don't lose anything. Except respect from their peers, which is going to be very interesting to see throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, man, there's a lot of meat to go down on this episode. Yeah. I don't know. We could keep talking and talking and talking, but I got to tell you, we got big news. We probably shouldn't have saved this all the way for the end of the episode, but for those of you that have stuck around just for this news, you're in for a treat. Preston, give them a little background on this.
Absolutely.
Or I could.
Go for it.
Basically, we received a message the other day on Facebook, and we had been talking about trying to get more involved in the community of sports in Tulsa and, you know, getting involved with some local breweries. And this message that we got actually ended up being pretty cool. At first, Preston goes, "Hey, did you just see the message we got?" Because we sit right next to each other at work. I said, "No," and I looked, and you know, James Heron of the Tulsa Gaelic community, James Heron of the Tulsa Gaelic Athletic Club, as I was trying to say, sent us this message and said, "Hey, man, we've got an event coming up. It's the Tulsa Rumblers Sandlot Baseball Club, and they're partnering. The two of them are partnering for a home run derby on February 23rd, and both clubs are sponsored by breweries. We've got Dead Armadillo and American Solera, and they've invited us out to the event, and we've invited them onto the podcast. So on Wednesday, which is actually tomorrow, we're going to be meeting them at Dead Armadillo Brewery, and we're going to be doing a live recorded podcast
yeah.
at Dead Armadillo, and we're really looking forward to it. So hope you guys are gonna tune in for that, and definitely go out to their event on the 23rd. I'll be there, and
Lacey Park,
yeah. And we will be talking more and more about that on tomorrow. So,
yeah.
James, thanks for the message, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. Preston, what are your thoughts on what's coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, obviously, I'm super excited for this interview, especially because we're going to Dead Armadillo. I love Dead Armadillo. And it's just going to be a fun time, man, and get to know this. I'm very interested to learn more about this club. It's an Irish sports club is what, the Gaelic Tulsa sports club is. And,
they do hurling.
So it looks like there's quite a few different little things that they're a part of, but yeah, hurling is one of the main things. And yeah, I just want to know more about the club and what they're about and how this all ties together. So, I'm super excited to hear more from them tomorrow and go from there.
I mean, really, so far, I don't think it could have gone any better as far as like a match, because they are a beer-drinking sports organization, and we are a beer-drinking sports organization. So
yeah.
It's going to be fun. Hurling, I knew nothing about until I got a call from James, and we talked about it. I'm not even going to try to describe what that is. I'm going to leave it to him to do on the show tomorrow. So be looking for that. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hornsby's going to be out at the event on Saturday. So we're going to have a little bit Sunday. It's the 23rd, whenever that is. Saturday. Yeah, it is Sunday. So Hornsby will be there. They've got a bunch of other stuff planned. It's going to be fun. So I'm not going to try to step on their toes and go too far into this. I'll let them talk about it tomorrow. But, Preston, you got anything else to talk about today?
No, man, that's it. So everyone look forward to our next episode, because this is going to be a really good interview. I don't think you guys are going to want to miss.
Yeah. Well, guys, we appreciate you tuning in this week. It's been a good episode. We could have broken this one up into three episodes and really dove into each category, but
you know, one thing I do have to mention, because we are an XFL podcast.
We are an XFL podcast. Your official XFL podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Was week two, games were still really good. Really enjoyed it. Still learning a lot of players and things like that. Landry Jones came, didn't play very well at first, but played well enough to win the game. Bob Stoops after the game gave him the game ball. Love to see it. XFL, I'm still on board.
Yep. Well, I think that about does it for this week, guys. Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you need to make a Facebook. Get involved with our community. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. It is at Hopped On Sports. If you are just too old to figure out how to make a Facebook, but you want to sit down, drink a beer, and send us an email, do that to hoppedonsports@gmail.com. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in this week. We're looking forward to our interview tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.